Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Heading into another big weekend for the Hoosiers. They have a game on Saturday afternoon at Bankers Life Fieldhouse against Butler. It's part of the Crossroads Classic. We've been talking about it all week long, and obviously an opportunity for IU to take another step forward and really a big final step in their non-conference season. It's not at all over. They've got two games coming up over the Christmas holidays, but still a little time in between games, rest time for the Hoosiers as they gear up for Big Ten Conference play, and some lesser opponents to wrap up the non-conference portion of the season as well. So a big one for IU, bragging rights. They've not done tremendously well in recent years against Butler. In fact, we're going to take a look at the all-time series records in the Crossroads Classic. I think this is the eighth or ninth year that it's been around. We'll tell you how each of the teams has done, the four teams that have participated in the event as well, and Butler's right there at the top. So big one for IU for a number of reasons, and back-to-back big weekend games. Louisville a week ago, IU answered the challenge at Assembly Hall, and now they'll try to do the same thing at Bankers Life for the Crossroads Classic game against Butler. Big high school night as well this weekend, and specifically tonight, really excited about that Jeffersonville and Silver Creek game. The Dragons have looked so good so far this season, and if anyone locally, at least on their schedule, is going to challenge them, Jeffersonville might be one of those teams at the very top of the list. So the Red Devils will be hungry as well. They're coming off of a loss last Saturday against Carmel at the Forum Tip-Off Classic, and should be a tremendous crowd tonight for the game as well. The Silver Creek and Sellersburg community, I know they're really behind their athletic teams. They've had some great ones, baseball, football, other sports as well, in recent years, and they get behind their teams. But let's see if they're going to start packing this thing every game. There was a really good crowd there a week ago for the Columbus East game. We'll see what it's like tonight when they take on Jeffersonville. But if you're looking for a game to get to tonight, a $5 game, go to the Jeff Silver Creek game. You're going to see a lot of talent. Trey Coleman will play Division I basketball. He's in that game. You'll see Cooper Jacoby, who will play a high level of college basketball. We'll see where exactly he lands as he continues to develop and progress in his career, but also Trey Kaufman as well. He's going to be something special. And other players, too, number of other players in the game that can play that will probably go on to play some level of small college basketball. But it'll be a good one. It's going to be, I think, a great early season game. Wouldn't surprise me if it was very close and competitive all the way down to the final horn. And that's definitely the game of the week. And we'll have the broadcast for you tonight here on the Big X as well if you can't make it out to Silver Creek for the Jeff Silver Creek game tonight. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. And segment one, I'll have our Hoosier headlines, news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at all-time Crossroads Classic records coming up here in just a second. We'll also take a preview of the Butler-IU game, take a look at some of Butler's top players and top weapons as they come into the game tomorrow, and we'll tell you about some other high school basketball things going on this weekend. Also, segment two, joining us will be Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll have a full rundown on IU and where things stand for the Hoosiers as they enter the Butler game on Saturday. And then later, we'll close the program with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Lots of controversy and social media rumblings lately about the Mr. Football Award. It did not go to David Bell. It went to a 1A football player whose name on a statewide level, at least down our way, is not near as well known as David Bell and the unbelievable, I'll call it, athletic career that he's had at Warren Central, one of the state's biggest schools, not just on the football field, doing some amazing things there and attracting a lot of high major interest from college football programs across the country, but what he's done on the basketball court as well. He's become a fairly well-known guy in high school basketball and high school football across the state. He does not win the award. Kind of some interesting stories there. We'll talk with Kyle Nedenrip about that and get Kyle's take on the Hoosiers for this season and maybe the latest with Keon Brooks and his recruiting as well as he narrows in on a decision, we think, coming up here in the next month or so. That's a look at the lineup presented by Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. This is the eighth year now of the Crossroads Classic, and you've got a number of schools that have been in that. All four schools have been in that event in some form or fashion now for all eight of these years. Butler leads the way. They have 5 wins and 2 losses in the Crossroads Classic in its 7 previous years. Indiana, with a winning record, but not as good as Butler, they have 4 wins and 3 losses in the Crossroads Classic. Notre Dame, a losing record, 3 wins, 4 losses, and Purdue has the worst record of teams in the Crossroads Classic. They've won just twice. They've lost 5 times in the event in its 7th year. So Indiana can, if for what it's worth, as far as the records go, they can, with a win this weekend, not only record another non-conference victory and an important win against an in-state opponent, they could also become the second team to reach 5 wins in the Crossroads Classic, the 8 years that the event has been around. So I thought that was interesting. Butler has obviously had the best of Indiana recently when they've played in that series at the Crossroads Classic, and they will be led on Saturday, likely by Paul Jorgensen. He's a transfer in from George Washington, played there for 2 seasons, and now that he's at Butler and active on the roster, he's the team's leading scorer, averaging 17.1 points per game, shooting the ball just over 43% on threes through the first 7 games, and is a very solid player. He obviously is a key for Butler, also a key, and Jorgensen is a senior, also a key, though, is junior Kamar Baldwin. Baldwin is 6'1". He has been averaging 16.6 points per game, shooting 41.9% from the field over 7 games, and is the top assist getter for this Butler team. So they have 2 really, really strong players that will lead the way. A number of other players, Aaron Thompson, Henry Badley, Sean McDermott, Nate Fowler, and even Joey Brunk, who a lot of people remember from some of Southport's really good teams that faced off with Romeo and New Albany in the Semi-State a few years back. They've got a number of solid players, and they obviously are not maybe the Butler team that they have been, to be quite honest, but they are still very good and set to have a great year. This will be a big win if Indiana can get it done on Saturday in the Crossroads Classic. I mentioned high school basketball this weekend. The big one, no question about it, on Friday night is Jeffersonville at Silver Creek. Lots of talent in the game. This was a big weekend a year ago for the Dragons because not only do they have Jeffersonville tonight, they've got Bedford tomorrow night. So 2 4A opponents, 2 tough games for Silver Creek. And a year ago, they not only lost the game to Jeff and the following night to Bedford North Lawrence, but really the games weren't that close. This is a different Silver Creek team, another year under the belt of some of the upperclassmen. Obviously, the younger guys are now from freshmen to sophomores, another year experience themselves, and I don't think that we'll see any scores like what the Dragons had last year. In fact, I would be surprised if Silver Creek did not win both of these games this weekend, to be quite honest with you. But 2 challenges for Silver Creek. We'll find out when we talk again on Monday if this Silver Creek team is for real, at least in the early going of the season, if they can record 2 big victories this year. Also, some other games to watch. Floyd Central's at Bloomington South on Saturday. The Highlanders have been playing great basketball. You've got to put them in Silver Creek right at the top of things right now as far as local ball goes. But playing at Bloomington South is always tough. And Bloomington South has Anthony Leal, who's been putting it all together, been scoring a lot more points than what he did earlier in the season, and it'll be an interesting game for Floyd Central to see how they do on the road at Bloomington South. And speaking of tough games this weekend, New Albany looking to bounce back with a loss to Floyd Central last Friday. They play at Seymour tonight, but tomorrow night, Carmel comes to the doghouse. Carmel had its way with Jeffersonville last Saturday. Very good team. That will be a tough game on Saturday night, but a good one to get out and see. So some interesting games will be played this weekend locally in high school basketball, and I urge you to spend that $5. It's the cheapest entertainment option for you and the family tonight, and there will be some really good basketball played in the area, not just this weekend, but in future weekends as well, and a couple good ones that I wouldn't miss this weekend if you can help from it. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. They bring us our news of the day each program here on the show. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was also voted as the best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. Next is Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk IU basketball in depth. We'll take a look at the IU Butler contest as well. That's next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back, and Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest, as he is each Friday. We talk IU basketball in this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Jared, great to have you talking IU hoops the day before the IU Butler game. IU has a little work to do. Given their recent performances, and Butler has by no means dominated Indiana, but they've gotten the best of the series recently in the Crossroads Classic event. And this is an Indiana team that I think has the weapons, is playing the way they need to have a great opportunity to record a win on Saturday in Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think if I were pressed to pick a winner, I would pick Indiana. But, you know, there's a reason why when you look at the KenPom projection, they give Indiana a 50% chance to win, just like Butler, and have it at 71-70 for a prediction. And I think the game will be really close. You know, it's an interesting matchup because, you know, Butler is obviously rock solid with what they do, like they always are. They've got a really good lead guard in Kamar Baldwin, who's going to be, you know, he's going to present a big challenge for Indiana defensively, as are, you know, the other shooters that they have around the perimeter. So I think it's going to be a really big test for guys like Rob Finnessy and Al Durham and Romeo Langford and Devontae Green when he's in there, and Zach McRoberts as well, to really do a good job of defending and not giving those guys open three-pointers. You know, because I think, you know, in that Louisville game, obviously Indiana, you know, played very well and did enough to win. I thought for the most part played well defensively, but they did give up some open looks. You know, and if Louisville had been able to make one or two more of those, obviously you could have a different result there. So I think that's going to be key for Indiana. But I think, you know, that there's going to be a lot of opportunity for them offensively to take advantage down low with guys like Juwan Morgan, who I think, you know, should be able to have a really productive day. So it's a really interesting matchup. I think it's going to be a really fun game, and it's a big opportunity for Indiana to, you know, maybe exercise a few demons from Crossroads Classics past and also get an important non-conference win away from home.
Jared Morris with the Assembly Call, our guest. Don't forget, tomorrow after the IU-Butler game, we'll have the Assembly Call IU postgame show right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Let's talk about more about the Butler game tomorrow. Keys maybe to beating Butler. What are a couple things you think IU has to do, given what Butler has, what type of team they are, how they play basketball, that Indiana needs to do to come out with the win on Saturday?
Well, I think what I just talked about with defending the three-point line, that's going to be key. And, you know, Butler's going to make some, but I think you want to try and limit their attempts as much as you can and just make sure that you're closing out and challenging all of them. And they're going to make a few, but, you know, you want to limit some of the damage there. I think turnovers are going to be a big key. You know, Butler does not turn it over much, and they are good at forcing turnovers. And that's been a big issue for Indiana this year. So, you know, they were better in the Louisville game. Hopefully that continues. Because I think if there's a wide disparity in terms of possession, because Butler isn't giving them up and they're forcing some on our end, that's going to be really hard to come really hard to overcome for Indiana. And then I think it's going to be important what happens inside. You know, I think Indiana has the advantage because, you know, Juwan Morgan is just so skilled and so quick down low that I think he's going to be able to take advantage of Butler's big men. But on the other side, you know, Joey Brunk has been doing a really nice job of scoring efficiently down low and at drawing fouls. And so, you know, when Indiana has struggled and it's happened away from home, Juwan Morgan has gotten into early foul trouble. So it's going to be really interesting to see from a matchup perspective, what does Indiana do defensively? Because Butler doesn't have a ton of size, but they do have, you know, two guys that are about 6'10" that they kind of rotate in at that center position. And that's a pretty big, you know, height disadvantage with Juwan Morgan being, you know, more of a 6'7", 6'8" guy. So I think, you know, you're going to see, you know, Deron Davis is going to have an important role to play. You might see Evan Fitzner get more minutes in this game, certainly than he did against Louisville, just as a guy who can come in and you know, provide some kind of resistance defensively down low. Because what you can't have happen is Juwan Morgan get into early foul trouble. Because I think on the other side, like I said, he'll have a lot of opportunities to score because of his quickness. But you've got to keep him from getting into foul trouble. And so it's going to be interesting to see from a matchup perspective what Indiana chooses to do there.
Jared, I think this game is important for many ways because it's obviously against an in-state rival. It's the Crossroads Classic, which is essentially a showcase of the best college basketball has to offer from the Hoosier State. So if you're the state school, you want to perform well in that event. But more importantly, not that we're going to overlook Central Arkansas or Jacksonville and not give them any time of day or talk about them, but this is the last big major non-conference game that Indiana will play heading into Big Ten Conference play, which begins January 3rd. So after the game against Butler, then you have an opportunity to play Central Arkansas, a home game on the 19th, December 22nd, Jacksonville at home, and then after that, a nice break from December 23rd through January 2nd, and I'm sure players will come back before that, obviously, but to go home for Christmas Day at least, maybe for a couple days, and it also gives the coaches some important time to get out while there are big holiday basketball offerings at the high school level to get out, recruit some of these players that they're tracking, not just in 2019, but beyond.
Yeah, you know, kind of like with the Louisville game last week, this is a big momentum game. You know, Indiana, I thought, really built some momentum by finding ways to win the games against Northwestern and Penn State, and you hope last week against Louisville that they could find a way to keep that momentum going, and they did. You know, and now they're sitting here with four top 50 victories, and now you've got another chance against Butler, and as you mentioned, you know, after this, there's a long break before you play a real meaningful game. And so I think it would be really helpful just, you know, kind of heading into that break and then as you go into Big Ten play to kind of go in with some momentum, go in with some confidence to have won this game and to get another win away from home, you know, to put another solid NCAA tournament resume win in your back pocket before you get into Big Ten play. So, you know, it's a big opportunity. And, you know, the other thing for all, you know, kind of the issues that it's felt like we've had at the Crossroads Classic, I believe if we win this game, we will be tied with Butler for the best record in the Crossroads Classic. And so, you know, so that's, you know, I don't, you know how many of the players are actually looking at that. That's probably more a thing for fans to look at than anything else. But I think that's an important thing. You know, just as you said, you know, to kind of, you know, stake our claim as the best program in the state, which frankly we have not been since the Crossroads Classic started, but obviously, things have been improving of late, and I think this would be another step toward getting that, you know, both kind of the micro momentum just in terms of right now in this season and also the macro momentum that we're building in the state to keep that going in a positive direction.
Jared Morris with the Assembly Call is our guest. You can find out more at assemblycall.com or follow Jared at Assembly Call on Twitter. IU is 8-2 right now. If they can, and I know I'm going to put the cart before the horse here for just a second, but if they can win the Butler game, and I think they've got a great chance too, unless it's just a totally disappointing performance going backwards in many regards, If they can win that game to get their ninth win, let's all cross our fingers that they'll beat Central Arkansas and Jacksonville at home. So 9, 10, and 11 wins. If they go into the Christmas holiday and to the Big Ten Conference, the full slate of games beginning January 3rd with Illinois at home, if they go into that with an 11-2 record, how happy are you as an IU fan, as someone who tracks this team closely, with that record?
I mean, I'd be ecstatic with that record. I think everybody should be ecstatic with that record. You know, because, yes, you know, on the one hand, you can look at it and say, you know, you're also a tip-in and a bad call away from, you know, from only having one loss. And, of course, on the other hand, you had some close calls, too, that could have gone the other way. So I think you feel great about that record because, you know, there have been injuries and there have been issues that this team has worked through, and it hasn't been all smooth sailing. And it feels like, you know, you still have some issues like free throw shooting and turnovers that if they improve, which there's certainly plenty of room for improvement, you know, you can really get better as the season goes along. So if you're already 11-2, you know, and you still have what feels like a lot of ceiling left to kind of rise up into, I think that'd be a great spot for Indiana to be in, you know, because then all you have to do is go 500 the rest of the way in Big Ten play, and you're at 20 wins. And you could go 500 in Big Ten play and still have a really impressive season because of how many opportunities you're going to have to get quality wins in the Big Ten. So, you know, if you're able to do that and kind of look at that as now, you know, this is kind of the floor for what we feel like we can do, you know, now a 22, a 23, even a 24 win type season becomes, you know, something that is even within the realm of possibility. So, It would be big to do that, and I think just given everything, all the adversity this team has faced so far this season, to be in that spot would really be a testament to, you know, to their talent and just the leadership and direction that they've had to kind of fight through all that.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, my guest. I want to ask you about a couple players, try to pick a couple different ones out each Friday to get your comments and thoughts on. And I want to start with Devontae Green. I'm not sure that he's lived up to near the expectations that IU fans had for him coming into this season. What do you think maybe are some of his problems, and what are your hopes for him to fit into this team and the role that you see for him, that if he's going to be a key player for the team, if he's going to be really meaningful in this conference stretch of games that is forthcoming, what does he need to do?
Well, you know, I think obviously the first thing for Devontae is limit the turnovers. And I think his issue, and one of the reasons why he draws so much ire from fans, is that his mistakes are so blatant and so obvious. You know, you see a couple of bad turnovers, and it kind of colors your perception of everything else that he does. And granted, some of those turnovers are really bad, so I'm not saying that it shouldn't, but it can at times overshadow, you know, some of the solid plays he'll make on offense, or some of what I have thought are, you know, kind of home run plays that in the past he would have tried to make. And it's almost like you can see him back it out and try and be a little bit more conservative, which I think actually has shown some growth in him, even if it hasn't necessarily manifested itself yet in the turnover numbers. But I think the other thing is continue to defend. I think he's been a pretty good defender. I think our perimeter defense on the whole has been really good, and he's been a big part of that. So, you know, I think, ultimately, I think it should help him that he's not going, you know, now that Rob Phinisee is a starting point guard, you know, I think Devontae can play a little bit more natural role for himself, you know, kind of be a secondary playmaker, be, you know, kind of take on a backup point guard role, but have a little more freedom to, you know, to kind of look for his shot and be, you know, an off-the-catch type guy. So I think for him, and I think it's the same thing with Justin Smith, is let it start on the defensive end. You know, really allow your defense to create the momentum, you know, get some turnovers, get some rebounds, help, you know, get some transition stuff going. Don't rely necessarily on getting into an offensive rhythm to dictate what's happening with you in that game. And I actually think for the most part, he's done a pretty good job of doing that and staying engaged on the defensive end, even when he struggled some offensively.
Jared, anything at all on Jerome Hunter? Will he potentially redshirt? Will he maybe get a chance later in the year to play? And likewise on Race Thompson, we know more about him. It's a concussion-like symptoms that he's been battling, but he's been out now for a number of games and for a number of weeks.
Yeah, I don't know anything definitive on either guy, and I wouldn't expect to get a ton. I know Archie said during his radio show that Race had, kind of done some light cardio and lifted weights for the first time. So it seems like he's starting to progress somewhat, but we're just going to have to wait and see. I don't know any timetable, and kind of the same thing with Jerome. Ever since we heard about the lower leg condition and the surgery that he had, I just kind of decided to put it out of my mind that he'll play this year, and just to be pleasantly surprised if he does. But obviously with each passing week, it seems more and more likely that this will end up just being a redshirt season for him. But I wouldn't necessarily anticipate that ever being officially stated until much later in the season, just because there's no, they don't have to state it. So there's really no reason to kind of put it out there that you don't have to do it.
Jared, in the second half of the year, in the Big Ten portion of the year, who is a player or two on this IU roster with all the positives that we've talked about and the different lineups and things that have been used so far? Who's a player or two that you'd like to see more out of? Maybe Devontae Green is one of them. We've already discussed him some, but a player that you think needs to step up for this IU team to have its opportunity to reach its full potential in the Big Ten Conference?
Well, I think there are several guys, and there are some obvious candidates. I mean, Justin Smith needs to be more the Justin Smith that we saw at the end of last year, and I think he's starting to get closer to that. He's played pretty well the last couple of games, especially defensively. So certainly him. Obviously, I think a guy like Juwan Morgan even has room to grow, because in important games, he's got to be able to stay on the court and learn how to play, not learn how to do it. He knows how to do it, but just, be able to play more minutes. And so I think you can go up and down and kind of point to every guy. One guy in particular, though, who I think just hasn't been himself yet is Zach McRoberts. And, I attribute a lot of it to injury. He just seems a little bit, obviously, athleticism has never defined his game, but he has seemed just a little stiffer than normal defensively, and just not quite in the same kind of defensive rhythm you'll often see with him. He's not generating the steals that he usually does, and that's a big part of what he does. And so I think, getting Zach back to being Zach, and maybe even being a little bit more, seeing the confidence with his shot to be a guy who can maybe, consistently, take two or three threes a game and knock down one or two of them. I think he's a guy that can really, and I think it'll probably be, in a bench role. I don't know that you'll see him get a starting job back, simply because Al Durham has done a nice job and has been a more consistent presence since he's been in there. But I think off the bench, Zach can really become a guy that is just a steadying presence like he always is. And, and he makes those little plays like he did at the end of the Northwestern game to save that ball to Romeo. He makes those plays that make a huge difference in one or two possession games. So I still think he has a really important role to play on this team, and I just don't think he's really been able to do it yet because, he's had that injury and it's just taking him a little while to kind of get back in the flow.
Jared, before we let you go, I do want to take just a quick look at the start of the Big Ten Conference season coming up here after the new year. And obviously, we always look at that Big Ten schedule for the tough parts, because some of the away games and the conference is always tough, home or away, to be quite honest. But Indiana with actually the open, I think, is pretty tough. Illinois at home on January 3rd. Then they go at Michigan, at Maryland, Nebraska at home, at Purdue to kind of start things off. That's a tough run for this team at a conference that's better than expected.
I think there's another road game after the Purdue one, too, isn't
at
there?
Northwestern.
I think they play, so they play 4 out of 5 on the road. I mean, it's really tough. And I think, you asked earlier, why is this Butler game so important? I think that's another reason why. Not only do you want to build more confidence in your ability to win away from home, but, you want to kind of rack up some wins now, because you're probably going to take a couple dings there. I mean, if Indiana can win 3 or 4 of those games during that 5-game stretch, you've got to feel really good. Like that would put Indiana in a position, to potentially challenge for the Big Ten title right there, because things do open up later and you expect this team to be much better in February and March. But that's going to really test where this team is in January, that stretch. So I think, they're certainly capable of winning each of those games individually, but to stack them up like that, that's going to be a real challenge, and it'll be fun to see how they navigate it. But it's going to be tricky, because all those teams are good and all those venues are tough places to play.
I was asking somebody this, or someone was asking me this. We were kind of going back and forth yesterday talking about the Big Ten Conference and how tough it is this year and how some people maybe overlooked it just a bit. But you're, and I don't know that you've been to all of them, but you have a good sense of the Big Ten and of IU basketball over the years. Your thoughts on the toughest road environment? Is there one or two that really stand out to you?
You know, we're a program that has had very little success in a couple of places in particular, which would be Michigan State and Wisconsin.
Yes.
Over the last 20 years. And so, you know, I never, when we're playing at Wisconsin, I never really notice, like, the noise. Like, it doesn't seem as crazy as Assembly Hall. But just the fact that we never win there, you know, because the thing about a venue is the thing that makes a road venue so tough is the opposing team. You know, if you know that the opposing team is going to be really good, you know, there's only Assembly Hall is amazing. There's only so much Assembly Hall can do when it's a mediocre team, you know, so you really kind of need that combination. And I think with Michigan State, you know, you notice the is zone and you kind of notice the atmosphere for games there. And I don't necessarily feel that, at least with the TV presence at a Wisconsin game, and I've never been there to a game. But certainly just the teams that they have had have just kind of bludgeoned us to death every time we're up there. So I think, you know, from an Indiana perspective, those have certainly been the two toughest. And from an atmosphere perspective, obviously you have to give a lot of credit and a lot of respect to Mackey Arena, because that place is phenomenal. And they have great fans, and it's loud and it's intimidating. And for the most part, they've had really good teams there recently, too. So, you know, I think, you know, those three certainly stand out. And then, you know, you look this year with Michigan, it's a place Indiana has had some success. But, boy, the team you're going to face, you know, going up there this year, they're looking like a juggernaut. So that'll be an interesting one, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Jared Morris with the Assembly Call. Don't forget the IU post-game show by Assembly Call right here on the Big X after the IU-Butler game. And the network coverage ends tomorrow. Look forward to that. Always a great way to wrap up what have been a lot of IU victories so far this year, to hear your guys' commentary and breakdown. And we look forward to that after the game tomorrow.
Absolutely. Hopefully it is a victorious episode.
All right, Jared Morris, Assembly Call. This segment presented by Coffee Crossing. They bring us Jared Morris each week on the program. When you are looking for great coffee in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company, 410 Bakery and Cafe. Great coffee, great bread, great pastries as well. Now serving breakfast and lunch at 410 Bakery in downtown New Albany. That is Jared Morris. And don't forget, coming up, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle and I are going to talk about the Mr. Football Award, and it didn't go to the player that I think the entire state basically thought it would go to in David Bell, who, by the way, is still considering IU football among a number of other programs out there. He is still considering IU and Purdue and Ohio State and some others as well. I don't know that IU has a great percentage on landing him, but he doesn't get Mr. Football. A lot of people surprised by that. So that is coming up. We'll talk some about that. We'll talk some basketball with Kyle. We'll talk even a little IU. I want to get his thoughts on IU Butler and what he thinks about the team so far this season. We'll do all of that in the next segment. Don't forget, Silver Creek hosting Jeffersonville tonight. Huge high school basketball game in the area. We'll have the full play-by-play of that contest coming up later tonight at 7:30 here on the Big X. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Kyle Neddenrip after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday program. Thanks for being with us. The Hoosier Report, we do this each weekday, 11 a.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star is with us per normal on Fridays. And, Kyle, I want to start with a high school football topic. We're normally not talking a lot of football smack dab in the middle of December, but Mr. Football announced earlier this week. I think the common person that follows the game, maybe like a lot of us down here, with not many teams recently advancing far in the state tournament, was the fact that David Bell is the likely front runner for Mr. Football. He's kind of been the face of high school football now for a couple of years. He's being recruited by a number of high major schools, and he'll make his decision, we think, sometime coming up in January. Everyone that I know down here was shocked when he was not named Mr. Football.
Yeah, and it's sort of a layered discussion, and Jack Kaiser certainly, who ended up winning the award, is, you know, a one-of-a-kind player in his own right, won two state championships at Pioneer. He's going to Notre Dame. He's clearly a quality individual, and really in that community in Little Royal Center up there in Cass County, he's sort of a even like a mythical figure for the kids growing up, you know, watching Pioneer. So a great story in its own right. But yeah, you're right. I was so, you know, how it works every year is I go down, pick up the ballots from the All-State meeting and count them up. And on it's on a Friday at a hotel in Northside, Indianapolis. And so I counted them up. And, you know, after you got through the first, I counted up the smaller classes first. And it was pretty clear at that point, you know, David probably wasn't going to have a chance to win it. You know, the 1A and 2A coaches almost all voted for Kaiser, and there's only 60 total votes. So, you know, how it works, each class gets 10 votes, you know, represented throughout the state. It's each sectional has a coach vote and then two at-large selections for each class. So it's a pretty good, you know, mix of class, you know, size of school and geography-wise. But, you know, in my opinion, I've thought this, you know, for a while, you know, I would like to see a little bit larger pool, you know, in case – not to say it happened in this case, but if you do have sort of a, you know, hey, we're all going to vote for this guy in this class. And again, not to say Jack didn't deserve it, but I think it gives you a wider swath, I guess, if you allow all coaches to vote or, you know, even double the amount that vote now. You know, I don't see any harm in having a little bit more of a you know, number, a bigger pool of votes. But again, I don't see... You know, and social media went crazy, and I knew it would when Jack was announced the winner, and especially around here where, you know, people don't follow 1A football around here. So, you know, it's a lot of, in my mentions, was like, you know, who is this guy? And you know, it's on you if you don't know who Jack Kaiser is. It's not like he's a nobody who won Mr. Football. So, you know, I can understand if I had a vote, I would have voted for David Bell. I don't have a vote. You know, and it may come out that, you know, if it was media and coaches and maybe Kaiser still wins the award. I mean, we don't know for sure, but I think there was quite a bit of surprise. I think there was quite a bit of maybe misguided. At least social media is just a place where people can just say anything. And so a lot of that was directed at Kaiser, unfortunately, instead of, you know, backing Bell. But I think Jack and David handled it as well as anybody, you know, and he congratulated Kaiser. And I think that may have stemmed some of the, you know, some of the negativity towards Kaiser. But those two know each other. They respect each other. And, you know, two great players. In my opinion, it would have been a great year for a co-Mr. Football, but not how the votes came out. And you know, we'll see if they do anything different in the future. I don't know that they will, but you know, basically that's how it came out. I was surprised too, honestly. I thought David would win it, but I certainly thought Jack would have been number two at least, and obviously had a lot of support from the smaller classes and also in Northern Indiana had a lot of support.
It's interesting. I don't know the player, Mr. Football, I should say, Kaiser. Haven't seen him play. Haven't read that much about him. Definitely have read a lot more since the award was issued than what I had before. It's clear that he's a great player and has done some unbelievable things in his own right in high school football. I do find it interesting, though, that with a voting system set up the way it is, and you mentioned the number, the lack maybe of number of coaches voting with 10 in each of the six classes in football, you do have to wonder, you know, that it's set up kind of to have 6A coaches support bigger school candidates, and same with 5A and maybe 4A as well, and then 3A and down to support the smaller school candidates. So I guess it's maybe a fair split both ways, but it does seem a little different. Maybe could use some revisiting.
Yeah, I don't know what the right answer. I would just, you know, I like the fact that, you know, it is split among classes evenly. It is, you know, each part of the state is represented. But also it's, you know, with so few votes, it's also a case where, and again, I'm not saying this happened or anything, but you could say, hey, you know, 1A coaches, we need to support each other. You know, if my guy's up for it, you know, because with that small of a number, it would be easier to do that. And you have a bigger number, it's not as easy to sort of, you know, skew the vote that way. But, again, I don't – I don't see any, there's no crime that's been done here. I just think it's a, you know, kind of a surprise, and, you know, maybe it is something that could be revisited, and I think it will be. I don't know that it'll change, but I think there'll be discussion about it at least.
We're talking with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle with us on Fridays. We talk lots of high school stuff, recruiting as well when he's with us. Interesting thoughts, interesting update there on the Mr. Football race. Again, for the middle of December, you don't typically hear much about the award. It's announced, and the winner is oftentimes, it seems, expected, especially in some years where there's been a clear front runner as far as performances go. But this year, a little different. There's been some negativity. There's been lots of discussion. There's been probably more attention, to be honest, given to the Mr. Football Award this season than what I can remember in a number of years. Let's do talk a little basketball as the season, the high school season rolls along. Last Saturday was just a great showcase of some of Indiana's top high school teams and top talent as well. I think that's worth discussing. The nightcap was Keon Brooks and Center Grove with Trace Jackson Davis taking on each other. Two players that you and I have spent tons of time on this program in your Friday spot talking about. But a great start. It kind of showcased a lot of teams, some potential front runners maybe in different classes for state championships. I'm curious what you took away from that event last week.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Again, I was impressed with the way Center Grove came out, especially after the night before. Pike had just worked them by 40 points in the Friday night game, and they came out against Lalamere, and it was for three quarters, it was basically a tie game, and Lalamere eventually, their size, Isaiah Stewart is just an absolute man in the middle for them, and I thought he in the fourth quarter he kind of had his way. They weren't able to keep him off the boards. They weren't able to really stop him much, in that game as it went along. Keon Brooks, I think he's clearly getting better. His jump shot and he's always been a really smooth player, but I think his shot has really come around. I've seen him twice this season now, and he just looks really comfortable shooting the ball. And again, I thought he was really good in that game. And Lalamere is going to be, they're such a balanced and big team in key areas that they're tough for any high school team to beat, and I think that's expected. And someone asked me on Murray's email or social media, you're kind of like, why does Lalamere get a play in this thing when they're not a high school team? And I kind of said, well, it's sort of an exhibition. People want to see great players go against each other, so it's you get a chance to see Keon Brooks against Trace Jackson Davis, and you throw Isaiah Stewart and Paxson Wojcik, who's going to Loyola Chicago. It's kind of a fun deal. I don't think anything's necessarily lost by Center Grove losing that game. I thought actually they took away more, in a loss there than maybe they would have in playing somebody else in a win locally. So I thought that was a good game. I thought Carmel against Jeffersonville was really impressive. And I know Jeffersonville's, they don't have any seniors. They're probably still a year away from being to where they're going to get. Now I think they'll still be really good this year, but I thought Carmel defensively kind of took them out of everything. I thought John Michael Malloy played one of his best games, and Carson Wendland was really good at guard for Carmel too. And I came away from that game feeling like, Carmel's a team that they're kind of where we thought they should be or would be. And I think they'll give Warren, they don't play till late in the season, but I think that'll be a great game. I kind of anticipate those two, along with some others, but I think those two will be right at the top of the, polls all season. And I felt good about kind of what I thought about them coming in after watching them. HSE was really good, I thought. They're continuing to play well. The Cathedral-Zionsville game was a lot of fun. Cathedral hit 14 threes, and Isaiah Thompson had a good game for Zionsville. That was a really good battle, I thought. And Brownsburg handled business against Newcastle. But all things – we're good in that. I think I saw all but the first quarter of the first game, so it was a long day of basketball, but came away. It was a fun day for sure, and I thought a lot was learned watching those six games. A
lot of big games this week. Last weekend, it was kind of the New Albany-Floyd Central rivalry game down here with some other good ones sprinkled in. This week, we've got some of our local teams taking on other teams from out of the area. Floyd Central goes to Bloomington South for what should be a bit of a road challenge on Saturday. New Albany host Carmel, a team that you saw last weekend, I believe, against Jeffersonville, another local team. They are a challenge for whoever they play. They're big, they're long, they space the floor well, and they were able to get past Jeffersonville fairly handily. I think, once again, you got to look at Carmel in 4A as one of those schools at the top that could come through to Indianapolis at the end of the year.
Yeah, definitely. Carmel really handled Jeffersonville, and I think, you know, like I said, I think they're everything we thought they would be, you know, going into the year. John Michael Malloy, his aggressiveness around the basket, really, really good against Jeffersonville. There are a couple of good games down that way. I'm really curious to see how Silver Creek plays against Jeffersonville tonight. Silver Creek's in 3A, but you know, if they can handle a 4A team like Jeffersonville, I mean, I think that shows kind of where they're at as a program. And I know people high on Trey Kaufman, their sophomore, and I got a chance to see him last year in a game at Brownsburg, and came away impressed with Silver Creek's team, even though they lost that game. So, you know, there are some really good games. I'm going to go see Warren and Ben Davis tonight. That's a battle of undefeated teams right now, and Warren's got that 35-game winning streak, and Ben Davis has the size, and I think the overall talent to play with them. Whether or not, you know, the question with Ben Davis is, can they shoot outside of Wendland, who's going to Georgia State, you know, can they shoot well enough to beat Warren Central and handle that pressure? They can't turn the ball over, but I think that'll be a really good game tonight. Pretty full weekend. I think it's going to be another good weekend of basketball, and a lot of really good matchups going on. I posted a thing yesterday on kind of the best games in the state to watch and in the area. So, you know, just going through that, there's a lot of good ones here as we get closer to Christmas break.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star, our guest. It was Trace Jackson Davis I was on you about, wanting an update about every week. When's Keon Brooks going to make his decision? I know we've talked some about his comments after the forum event from Southport last weekend with other people on the show this week. But any update, any feeling that you have now that Jackson Davis is in the IU fold as to when Keon Brooks could pop and make his announcement?
Yeah, I know he wasn't ready yet when, for last week. There was some talk that he could do it before then, around then, or, you know, right maybe at the event even, but he wasn't ready to do that. So, you know, I think it may go on a little bit longer. I don't think it'll be too long. And you know, having talked with him face to face at the deal at Danville a couple weeks ago, man, it's hard not to come away feeling like, you know, IU's in a really good spot. But also, you know, Calipari was there and Izzo was there Saturday, so I know those schools are staying in with him. And of course, Kentucky's on Isaiah Stewart as well. But he's still, you know, figuring things out. I don't think it'll be too much longer, but at the same time, if you're not ready now, then maybe he needs to go see some more and get to some games and feel like he's making the right decision. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's really soon here, or, you know, if it goes on another few weeks.
Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, our guest with this Crossroads Classic. Talk a little college game with you to close the show today. Obviously, we've talked a lot today about the IU-Butler game coming up as well. That's a big one for in-state bragging rights, you could say. The Crossroads Classic has kind of highlighted some of those opportunities over the last, I think, 7 or 8 years that it's been around. Your thoughts on that in-state game tomorrow?
I think it'll be really good. I mean, I think we've seen in the past that this Crossroads Classic seems to bring the best out in Butler. It seems like they always play really well in this game. So I don't know what it is about that. You know, I would sort of think IU should be favored going into it, the kind of the way they played. Got a good win against Louisville. Does Butler have anybody who can slow down Romeo Lankford or begin to stop him? But, I think it'll be a really good game. It's a fun deal that sparks a lot of interest, obviously, around here and makes, again, sort of like an exhibition type of situation. It doesn't matter necessarily towards your conference or anything like that, but it's sort of a bragging rights type of deal. And I know Butler's always sort of geared up in that regard, but you know, it used to sort of feel like a mid-major against the big guy, and now that Butler's in the Big East and
you know, has gone to some Final Fours and all their tournament success, it doesn't feel necessarily like that anymore. So, you know, I think it'll be a really good atmosphere, really good game, and I expect it to be really close. I would give IU, if I'm picking, I would say IU, but I think it could go either way.
How good do you think this IU team could be?
I think really good. I mean, what we've seen recently out of Fennessy, and he, you know, I think he's really played well the whole year. You know, and we talked about him before on this show. You know, being a guy who's a true point guard and you know can play that role really well. And when you got a guy like that who seems college ready already as a freshman, you know that can take you a long way. And we already knew about Romeo and what he can get done for you. But you know, I think they're learning. You know, sometimes you know, after that Duke game, I think everybody was sort of, you know, man, what's wrong with this team, or what's the direction? They couldn't get any stops. I mean, defensively, just not very good in that game. But you know, you got to remember that a large part of this team, some of the key guys on this team are freshmen. You know, some of the guys who contribute the most for you are playing in college for the first time, including even Romeo, even though he's played at a high level throughout his career. So there are some going to be some growing pains, but you know, with guys like Langford, Juwan Morgan, you know, Finney's, I think, coming into his own. I think this team is a team that's going to be better in a couple months than they are right now, and I think there's a lot to like in every area. It's just depth, you know, is you got to improve depth to get through the Big Ten. And it's a team that might be a little bit up and down all year, but I think it's a team that, you know, if they can play up to their potential, they're going to be a handful for anybody.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, with us Fridays on the Hoosier Report. Kyle, thanks so much for the chat. As always, always informative, and we appreciate your time.
Hey, no problem. Thanks a lot, Matt.
That's going to wrap things up on this Friday edition of the program. Have a great weekend. We're back with you Monday, 11 o'clock, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.